This is the Poetry Foundation's Essential American Poets podcast. Essential American Poets is an online audio poetry collection. The poets in the collection were selected in 2006 by Donald Hall when he was poet laureate. Recordings of the poets he selected are available online at poetryfoundation.org and poetryarchive.org. In this edition of the podcast, we'll hear poems by James Tate. James Tate was born in Kansas City, Missouri, in 1943. His father, an American pilot, was killed on a bombing mission 5 months later. The title poem of Tate's first poetry collection, The Lost Pilot, was dedicated to his father. The book was selected for the Yale Series of Younger Poets in 1967, while Tate was enrolled in the Iowa Writers' Workshop. From the late 60s on, Tate published regularly and often. Over time, psychology and dream life figured in his poems more prominently than his waking life. The result is a poetry of absurd surprises and ever-morphing elements. As poet Donald Revell points out, you might find in Tate's work that a crazily surreal passage is broken off and followed by a painfully simple realization of ordinary, unqualified grief. Increasingly, Tate's poems are character-driven, featuring a narrator's various encounters with, for instance, a gnome or a goat or an insurance agent. Tate explains, "My characters usually are, or I'd say most often, in trouble, and they're trying to find some kind of life." Tate's 1991 Selected Poems was awarded a Pulitzer Prize, and the book Worshipful Company of Fletchers won the National Book Award 3 years later. A recipient of many fellowships and awards, Tate was elected Chancellor of the Academy of American Poets in 2001. He currently teaches at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. The Lost Pilot, The Blue Booby, and On the Subject of Doctors were recorded at the Library of Congress in 1976.
The Lost Pilot. At the time that I wrote it, I was in the process of becoming older than my father, and since my father's body had not been found, and since I've thought of him as preserved, and I thought of myself as passing him in some way, so I think some of that image transformed in the poem to something else. Your face did not rot like the others. The co-pilot, for example, I saw him yesterday. His face is corn mush. His wife and daughter, the poor, ignorant people, stare as if he will compose soon. He was more wrong than Job. But your face did not rot like the others. It grew hard and dark like ebony. The features progressed in their distinction. If I could cajole you to come back for an evening, down from your compulsive orbiting, I would touch you, read your face as Dallas, your hoodlum gunner, now with the blistered eyes, reads his Braille editions. I would touch your face as a disinterested scholar touches an original page. However frightening, I would discover you, and I would not turn you in. I would not make you face your wife, or Dallas, or the co-pilot, Jim. You could return to your crazy orbiting, and I would not try to understand what it means to you. All I know is this. When I see you, as I have seen you, at least once every year of my life, spin across the wilds of the sky like a tiny African god, I feel dead. I feel as if I were the residue of a stranger's life, that I should pursue you. My head cocked toward the sky, I cannot get off the ground, and you, passing over again, fast, perfect, and unwilling to tell me that you were doing well, or that it was mistake that placed you in that world and me in this, or that misfortune placed these worlds in us. The blue booby is the name of a bird. The blue booby lives on the bare rocks of Galapagos and fears nothing. It is a simple life. They live on fish, and there are few predators. Also, the males do not make fools of themselves chasing after the young ladies. Rather, they gather the blue objects of the world and construct from them a nest. An occasional gauze package, a string of beads, a piece of cloth from a sailor's suit. This replaces the need for dazzling plumage. In fact, in the past 50 million years, the male has grown considerably duller, nor can he sing well. The female, though, asks little of him. The blue satisfies her completely, has a magical effect on her. When she returns from her day of gossip and shopping, she sees he has found her a new shred of blue foil. For this, she rewards him with her dark body. The stars turn slowly in the blue foil beside them, like the eyes of a mild savior. This poem is called On the Subject of Doctors. I like to see doctors cough. What kind of human being would grab all your money just when you're down? I'm not saying they enjoy this. Sorry, Mr. Rodriguez, that's it. No hope. You might as well hand over your wallet. Hell no, they'd rather be playing golf and swapping jokes about our feet. Some of them smoke marijuana and are alcoholics, and their moral turpitude is famous. Who gets to see most sex organs in the world? Not poets. With the hours they keep, they need the drugs more than anyone. Germ City. There's no hope looking down those fire engine throats. They're bound to get sick themselves sometime. And I happen to be there, myself in a high fever, taking my plastic medicine seriously with the doctors who are dying.
That was James Tate, recorded at the Library of Congress in 1976 and used by permission of Wesleyan University Press. You have been listening to the Essential American Poets podcast, produced by the Poetry Foundation in collaboration with poetryarchive.org. To learn more about James Tate and other Essential American poets, and to hear more poetry, go to poetryfoundation.org.